In 2 Kings, the 22nd chapter, at verses 1 and 2, we have an introduction to a remarkable period in the history of the nation of Judah. The Bible says that Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Bosca. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. What I've read to you is incredible in view of what had been taking place in this nation and its religion previous to the reign of Josiah. We are reminded of a king whose name was Manasseh. Manasseh, who introduced every sort of abomination imaginable into the religion of God's people. So brassy and bold was he, and so uncaring was he, that he even erected an idol in the temple precincts, the temple devoted to Jehovah God, the God who had said, "Thou must make no graven image, and have no other gods before me." And yet, here is this 8-year-old boy who begins to reign in the nation of Judah. And notwithstanding the fact that the revealed religion of God was in incredible disrepair, Josiah, the young king, set about to restore in Israel true religion. When God's revealed religion falls into disrepair, serious consequences result. But the situation is not hopeless, no more so than it was in the days of Josiah. And why? Because God, in His infinite wisdom, has revealed to us the pattern for that religion which is going to be pleasing to Him. And in order for us to practice that religion, or in the event of the need to restore that religion, all one must do is return to the pattern which God has revealed and follow it carefully. Now, I recognize there are those who no doubt feel that as long as one is worshiping the true God, the how of his worship really is not all that important. Yet there are others who believe, as did Josiah, that it is critically important that we find and conform to that pattern which God, by inspiration, has revealed to His people, the pattern for true worship and service and religion. And this morning, my intention is for us to examine, to analyze this period of restoration among God's ancient people, in order to learn from it important and timeless lessons. In our analysis, I would begin with this. There must first be a searching, humble heart in one or those who seek to restore God's revealed religion. Over in 2 Chronicles, the 34th chapter, I'd like to read to you verse 3. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. Notice in the first part of the verse that in the 8th year of his reign, that makes him 16 years old, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And then in 2 Kings chapter 22, and there at verse 19, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardst what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes, and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Two qualities which are always going to be required if there is to be true restoration of God's revealed religion are these: a searching heart and a humble heart. If one is not characterized by a searching heart, then he is going to be very content with the status quo of his religion. If one is not possessed of a humble heart, it is going to be all but impossible for him to change away from comfortable and well-entrenched beliefs. But second in our analysis, there must be the book of the law, or the pattern which God has revealed. In chapter 22 of 2 Kings at verse 8, and Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Now keep in mind that Josiah is already a religious person, and that he is concerned about things such as right and wrong. And although religion in his country had fallen into serious apostasy, to the extent that it was possible, he was legitimately seeking after the God of David. And yet, in order for there to be a true restoration of revealed religion, there must be the book of the law. There must be the pattern which God has revealed. And one must resort to the pattern in order for restoration to take place. Third in our analysis, there must be and was genuine penitence. At verse 11 of 2 Kings chapter 22, the Bible says it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. Now that, my friends, was an ancient symbol of the penitence of a person's heart. Here is Josiah seeking the God of David his father, wanting to do what is right, but not having perfect information. And the book of the law is discovered in the ruins of the temple. And the law is read to the king. And so sensitive is he, and so concerned is he for true religion, that penitence is manifested in all of the ways possible. I ask this morning, how can there be change and restoration without repentance? How can there be change and restoration without this deep sorrow for the course of one's life, a course which has been away from the way that God would have one to live and the religion He would have one to practice? No matter how innocent or ignorant one may have been in what he was doing, I'm reminded of the words of the prophet Ezekiel in the 18th chapter of his book of prophecy at verse 30. The middle of the verse begins, "Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin." And the passage goes on, "Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you transgress, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel?" Genuine and true repentance, an absolute necessity if one is going to restore true religion, revealed religion. And then as I look at the analysis of this restoration movement, I discover that there was a very serious realization. Look at verse 13 of 2 Kings 22. Listen carefully. "Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found." Now listen. "For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us." Remember that these things are taking place in the life of a young king, 16 years of age. But he is old enough to understand that when people do not walk according to the pattern which God has revealed to them, the wrath of God will come down upon them. That was the great realization. We stand in dire danger of the manifestation of the wrath of God because of the way we have lived, because of the perverse religion we have tried to offer to God. It seems to me, however, that people in our time are not at all concerned and are very indifferent about the wrath of God upon those who do not keep the pattern which He has revealed in His Word. Little concern is there for the wrath of God. In fact, we don't even like to think about the wrath of God. We don't like to talk about it. What one wants to emphasize is the love of God. And indeed, I do too. But in the emphasis of the love of God and this great movement away from an understanding that as surely as God is a God of love, He is a God of wrath, there is lost the need to conform to the way that God would have us to live. And there is this feeling that God's love is just going to overlook everything. As long as I honor Him with my words, as I profess to worship the true God, everything else is okay. The wrath of God has been lost in that instance. But it was not lost on this 16-year-old boy. And he knew that because of the way the religion of God had fallen into such disrepair, He knew that he and his people were in danger of God's wrath. We may not like to think about the wrath of God, folks, but listen to me. The Bible, both in the Old and the New Testaments, speaks clearly of the wrath of God upon people who make the choice not to live, not to serve, not to worship, as God has revealed in His Word. But there was also a very serious decision that was made as we consider our analysis. In chapter 23 of 2 Kings, at verse 3, the Bible says, "The king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes with all their heart and with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book." There had to be a decision. And I'd like you to notice that this decision was made with heart and soul. This was not just a decision that was made to satisfy appearances. This decision went to the very heart and soul of the people who covenanted with God to keep the pattern He had revealed. And it wasn't just a decision. It was a decision to perform. Notice the word in the text. We're not just making an empty decision here. This is not for show. We're going to do what it is that God has revealed in His Word we should do. And that will constitute a restoration. I wonder this morning, though, if they're not those who really do know the pattern that is revealed in Scripture and who realize that the way they are worshiping God, the religion they are practicing, is not the same as the pattern that is revealed. And know that it cannot possibly be pleasing to God, yet make a decision to continue in the way they are living, they are serving, they are worshiping, they are walking. A way they know that really doesn't please God. The making of a decision here may well be the most difficult of the steps in the process of restoration. You see, this decision will involve familial issues. It will involve social issues. It will involve deeply entrenched religious traditions. All of these are going to be impacted by a decision to restore the religion which God has revealed, either in a collective way or privately. And so the decision can be a difficult point. It may have a lot to do with how my family will treat me from now on. It may have a great deal to do with the social conduct of my life. And my friends may abandon me or may think I'm strange. After all, my family has been practicing this religion of which we have been a part for generations. And you're asking me? No, I'm not asking anything. All I'm doing is saying that if you want to restore the religion which God has revealed, then those traditions are going to have to be laid aside. That isn't something that I have said. That is the pattern for restoration that you're going to find as you read chapters 22 and 23 of 2 Kings. Having made the decision, there was a great restoration in Israel. In chapter 23. At verses 21 and 24, here's what we read. The king commanded all the people, saying, "Keep the Passover unto the Lord your God." Now listen to these words. "As it is written in the book of this covenant." Moreover, verse 24 says, "The workers with familiar spirits, and the wizards, and the images, and the idols, and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law, which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord." Restoration. They found the book. Now they can keep the ordinances as God has revealed them. And one of those ordinances was the Passover. And so Josiah says to the people, in our restoration, we must keep the Passover as it is written in the book. In other words, we can't keep it in just any way we choose. If we're going to restore true, revealed religion in Israel, we must keep it as God has instructed in the pattern. But not only that. You'll notice as you study the context here that it was necessary for all of the vestiges of the apostate religion, the idols and the groves and such, it was necessary for these things to be put away from the people if they were going to practice true religion. Listen carefully. Why? Because what God did not authorize in the pattern, they could not practice. And neither can we. And there was, in our analysis, an unencumbered commitment. At verse 25 of 2 Kings 23, here is the observation of the historian. "And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him." Here is the spirit, my friends, out of which there can come a restoration of true religion, and within which there can be a continuation of it. Notice that the eyes of Josiah are on the Lord and on His Word. And Josiah would not be swayed. So what's the point of all of this? The religion for our time, which God has revealed, is found in the New Testament, described there in great detail. It's true, we are not to practice the religion that Josiah practiced. But what is also true is that restoration, whether it is of the old covenant or of the new, requires the very same essential elements. The faith in Christ was established on the day of Pentecost following the resurrection of Jesus in Jerusalem about 2,000 years ago. And as I said, that faith is described in great detail in all of its essential elements in the New Testament. In our world, there are many, many religious groups today. And the adherents to those various religions are, no doubt, in the main, very sincere in the pursuit of their religion. However, if you compare those religious practices and beliefs to the pattern that is described in the pages of the New Testament, you will discover, as did Josiah of old, that we are in apostasy. For the practices do not conform to the pattern. The beliefs do not conform to the pattern. And just as was the situation in the days of Josiah, there needs to be great repentance and an understanding, a realization that the wrath of God awaits those who choose not to practice the faith as He has revealed it in the New Testament. But there is good news this morning. And that news is this. You can enjoy a restoration of the religion which God has revealed in His Word, just as Josiah did so many years ago. The pattern is given us. But what is missing for many is those elements that are so necessary if there is going to be true restoration of revealed religion. So, if we're going to restore the faith in Christ, we must seriously consider those elements in our analysis. And it may be that we find ourselves at the point of making a decision which may impact our relationship with the family or friends, may mean having to give up things that I have believed traditionally as a person of religion for years, for generations. But sweet friend, listen. Nothing is more important than your immortal soul. And nothing should be more important to you than to do that which pleases God. You see, we cannot long be faithful to God if our eyes turn away from Him and turn to our own feelings and leanings and desires. Apostasy is always so near. All we can do is what Josiah did. Did he feel like he was being disloyal to his father Manasseh? I don't know. But I do know that we are told that he sought the God of his father David. Now, David wasn't his really immediate father. Certainly Josiah was in the lineage of David, but it was the religion of David. It was the revealed religion of God, not of his earthly father, which he sought. Did that take courage? I'm sure that it did. Just as it would take courage for you this morning to leave years of tradition, years of a religion which may be has had great significance in your life. And yet, it is not the faith that is revealed in Scripture. Few things have more excited me in the years of my preaching life than the biblical concept of restoration. And because of that, I have predicated my preaching and teaching on that principle, that idea, that example. And I urge this morning, my friends, that we determine to continue tenaciously in the pursuit of the restoration of God's revealed religion. I wonder, are there those in the assembly this morning who are making up their mind right now, making that decision? I want to follow the pattern that's revealed in the New Testament. The pattern involves your believing in Jesus Christ. It involves penitence, which we mentioned a while ago. It involves your confessing the faith you have in Jesus Christ, and it involves your being baptized for the remission of your sins. You see, that's the pattern that is described in the second chapter of the book of Acts. And throughout the book of Acts, you see this pattern reenacted over and over and over again. Conform to the pattern. Read further of the organization of the Lord's church, of the worship of the Lord's church, of the mission of the Lord's church. And practice those things carefully. Tim is going to lead us in a wonderful song. And if you're in this assembly this morning and you would like to respond to the Lord's precious invitation to begin your walk in the restoration of true revealed religion in your life, then I invite you to make that decision and come to the front and let us know that's your desire. If we can serve you, if we can help you, we invite you to come right now while we stand and while we sing.